Just as I had kind of mentioned a little bit at the beginning of Mass, just kind of reflecting and hearing those particular readings, what maybe jumped out at you? What struck you in these particular readings? I guess a couple of things that jumped out at me was this realization that Jesus said, "My words will not pass away." I know sometimes many of us in our world, we look for the sure thing, right? What is the thing that I can place most of my trust in and get the biggest return, right? Jesus says, "My words will not pass away." His words are truth. His words are a strong foundation. How much in your own life do you listen to God's words? How much in your own life do you reflect on God's words? Kind of think it, find it kind of neat in a sense of, you know, a lot of times around the new year, calendar year, those little calendar, desk calendars come out. And I'm always amazed with sometimes with them, how many of those particular sayings and words really are from Scripture. Maybe you get daily reminders that pop up on the computer of particular thoughts of the day. And maybe there's a lot of great ones that pop up particular scriptures. And so just to read the beautiful serenity, the beautiful truth that comes from God's words, believing in His words, listening to His words, and trusting that they will not pass away. Nothing will change them. Nothing will remove them. So for us, as we maybe talk about death, as we get older, as things break and fall apart, as our family and loved ones and others pass away, what are we putting our faith and our trust in? Jesus says, "My words will not pass away. They will always bring light. They will always bring peace and truth." The second thing is, for us as Christians, we believe that life does not end at death. It just passes from this world into the next. For those who believe in Christ and have followed Him, those who have listened to His word, go back and read that second reading sometime this week and really reflect on it. In the Old Testament, the priests offered, people brought offerings for sin offerings. So they had made mistakes and sinned, so they brought offerings to the priest, to the temple, whether it was grain or oil or turtle doves or a lamb or a goat, and they offered something of themselves that they had because they had sinned and made mistakes. So it was like for retribution, right? So I sinned this week, so therefore I'm going to give up some of the food that I could be eating next week. I'm going to give up this particular lamb that I could have sold for money. So an offering of retribution, "Lord, I have hurt you. Take something that belongs to me. And I give it because I made a mistake, because I sinned." And it says that Jesus took that sin offering away. And His one sin offering was His death and resurrection on the cross. So there's no need for us to offer sin offerings anymore, because we live, and that's what we do every time we come to Mass, we re-experience the memorial of Jesus' one sacrifice for us that has destroyed sin. And it states that last line of that second reading, if forgiveness exists, if there is forgiveness, if you seek forgiveness and ask forgiveness from God in confession or to your loved ones, then there is no need for sin offerings at all. So trust in that. Come to know Jesus and what He has given to you and that offering He has made for you. I also said at the beginning of Mass that each Mass is heaven on earth, right? We believe that heaven will be all those angels, saints, martyrs, all who have entered into the heavenly realm, basically giving praise and thanksgiving to God for His one sacrifice, that He has destroyed sin and death and saved us. So that all His heaven is about is giving praise to God for what He has done for us. And that's exactly what we do each and every time we come to Mass. We give praise to God that He died, that He rose, and that He has given us life, and that He continues to nourish us and to feed us with His body and blood to give us nourishment until one day we are too with Him in heaven. So I'd just like to take a couple of seconds, maybe for the rest of the homily, just to speak a little bit about funerals. So a lot of times when we think about death and whatnot, we think about funerals come to mind. I don't know if any of you have been to a funeral in a while. Maybe some of us maybe are afraid of funerals, don't necessarily understand funerals. Definitely funerals are can be traumatic times, sad times. Funerals also could be times of celebration, of the life of the person. So let me just quickly say, a funeral is not a sacrament. So a funeral is not one of the seven sacraments. Funerals usually take place in a mass. So many times when you go to a funeral, mass can be there. The funeral should be, or the funeral services should be for the people. They are for us, not necessarily for the person who has died. So the funeral isn't about, if it's a great, glorious funeral, then we're giving glory to this person, and God's going to hear it, and he's going to judge that person less. So that person, when they have died, their judgment has already been made from their life. So the funeral is an opportunity for what we need to help us to mourn, what we need to help us to enter into the loss of a loved one. Funeral is also there to help us to hear God's word of hope and to trust in his promise of eternal life. So whatever you do for a funeral, I know sometimes funerals can get expensive, but whatever you as a family need to help you to mourn and to place your hope and trust in God. So if that's a vigil service and praying the rosary to the Blessed Mother, asking for her intercession, if that's a funeral mass in church, if it's just a graveside, whatever it might be, the funeral and the services are there to help you in your mourning, helping you to trust and understand God's plan and place for those who believe in him, and that place that we all desire to be, which is in heaven. I would encourage you the next time you go to a funeral, really listen specifically to the words that are prayed in the prayers, and especially at the graveside and even at the vigil. Most of the words do focus on heaven and hope and trust in God and his destroying of sin and his plan for eternal life for us. Aren't necessarily focused on the actual death of the person, but the joy that we believe death leads to eternal life for those who believe in him. So real quick, a funeral can be for a person who comes forth in a casket and the body is present there, which is a normal experience of a funeral. A funeral can also be, the Catholic Church is okay with cremation, so there's nothing wrong with cremation, but there's just two things with cremation. If you decide to have your loved one cremated, everything else still stands true. So just as the body would stay together in the casket, and you wouldn't take off particular body parts or pieces to keep with you, the whole body is buried in the ground. So same thing with ashes. If it is cremated, then all the ashes stay together in the urn, and you shouldn't take a little bit of ashes out and put them in a pendant, or you shouldn't take ashes and do other things with them to pass them out to all the kids or grandkids. So the whole body should stay together. You might be laughing a little bit, but I've seen the little hearts at the hearts and other particular things, the little pendants that people wear, the ash of their loved ones. Anyway, everything stays together. So the body stays together. You have plenty pictures. You have plenty memorials of your loved one. Keep those and hold on to those. Let them give you hope. But all the ashes and everything stays together in the urn. And number two is that they are buried. So just as you would not keep the casket up on your mantle, just you would not keep the casket in your closet or in your bedroom, the same thing is true about the urn. It should be buried in a sacred place. So in a cemetery. What's buried in a cemetery? Everybody knows where the seminary is, right? That's where priests go to study to become priests in the seminary. In a cemetery is where you should bury your loved ones. Oh, if they bury them at the cemetery, some seminaries have cemeteries. Anyway, sorry. That's good. It's always good. I never was good at making people laugh at a funeral, but that's probably, I thought it was going to be a good thing. Anyway, so that the, should be buried in a cemetery. So the urn, the ashes should be buried in the ground, be buried in a mausoleum or a column burial, but a place that you can go back to and other family and friends can come back to as well to remember and honor that particular person and their life. So I hope that funerals should not be something that you'd be afraid of. Many people I do funerals on a regular basis, but many of us usually don't enter into funerals very often. So if you don't know what to do or how the process of a funeral goes, then that's okay, that's normal. But we at the church are here to help you. So if you have any questions about how a funeral works and what you need for a funeral and who does what, by all means, contact your local Catholic church and we can help you in making those decisions and plans. And we can help you in sorting that out and helping you to understand the funeral should be there to receive prayers and support from God, from your family and your friends. So the support system that has been with you, and hopefully the support system that will continue to be with you. And the funeral is hopefully, again, pointing to the reality that God has destroyed sin and death, that we have nothing to fear or to be afraid of. And to say that it's okay to be sad. You should be sad at a funeral. It's okay for tears to come because it means that you love the person and it means that you had a connection to them and that they're no longer with you. So sadness, tears, mourning, all those particular things don't mean you don't have faith. It just means that definitely, by all means, you had a connection to that particular person. And there is a loss and a void that takes place. But also realization of God's hope, of His love, and His plan for us. And let that give you encouragement and peace in the days ahead. So let us continue to pray for those who have died, especially those who recently have died. We pray for the repose of their souls. And let us remember, especially many members of our own parish here who have lost loved ones. May we continue to pray for you, and that you may continue to place your hope and your trust in the Word of God that will never pass away.